Hi, I'm Christina.
I'm Brittany, and this is the Made to Thrive podcast.
This podcast is dedicated to women everywhere in all stages of life who want to live life more fully and thrive.
We meet women where they are and help them find joy in all areas of life by providing a safe community to
talk,
share ideas,
support each other,
create a life you thrive in, because you were made to thrive. And welcome back to another episode of the You Were Made to Thrive podcast. And if you've been following us the past couple of weeks, you know that we have been sharing our magical Disney moments and memories. And so we're super excited this week. We have a special guest on. Joan, Christina's mom, is here with us to kind of go over a few things like planning and logistics and different things that she helped us with on this magical Disney trip. So Joan, would you introduce yourself?
Well, hello, I'm Joan. I'm Christina's mom and David's grandmom. I've been to Disney 5-6 times now, all as an adult. I never went as a child. It's changed over the years as to how you have to plan to do it. And it's different going as a couple or a small family or a large family. But I love going no matter when, so I'll go anytime.
I think we're all that way. Disney trip, sign us up.
Yep.
Well, good. Thank you for being here. I can't stop smiling. I'm just so happy that you're here with us. So, you've been the expert in the last, so we took David when he was a year and a half, and then we went this past Christmas. And when we went the first time, it was just like five of us. So it was us, the three of us, my parents, the six of us, sorry. And my sister went. I can't count. And then we went in December and we took 13 people all together, which was definitely way bigger than we've done before. And my mom and my dad both helped coordinate a lot of the behind the scenes logistics. So we wanted to get your expertise on how this trip was different and what else you can share with the audience. So I guess to kick it off, we were talking a lot on the last two episodes, Brittany, about like the Genie system, whatever the Genie Plus Fast Pass, whatever the system is. Okay, Genie Plus. So can you tell us about what that is and how that compares to the Fast Passes we've done before? Because I feel like I'm stuck in Fast Pass land and that's not what it's like anymore. So can you tell us about that?
The biggest difference is Fast Pass was free.
Right.
Genie Plus, you have to add to your tickets. You can either add per ride or you can add a per day.
Okay.
Price. But there are some rides such as the Rise of the Resistance and the, no, is that, is Rise of the Resistance the one you went on?
Yes. Yeah.
That one. And I believe the Guardians of the Galaxy are the two big ones that you have to pay regardless of what you have, whether you have Genie Plus on your ticket or not. And from what I can tell, we didn't pay for it, but what I can tell, it depends on the day and how many people are trying to get onto it. So if those are, do your homework on the Genie Plus as far as which rides you absolutely have to go on and what you're willing to pay for, because that's really what you need to pay attention to. The Genie Plus, you're going to need to get the My Disney Experience app no matter what you do, and also use that to make plans and to make some of your reservations. You can do that. And I think it's DisneyWorld.com Go or something like that. It'll take you right to it if you're going to a trip, and you log in and make an account and all that stuff. But your Disney, the Genie Plus is you have to add it to your tickets, and then you can only do so many rides per person per day at a time. Okay. And we didn't use it that much when we were there because we were able to do other things to get to the rides that we really wanted. But you need to pay attention to what rides you want and what time. Because you can start that, you can't start that till 7 a.m. of the day of your trip, of your park, whatever park you're going to be in. And it's only per day. And sometimes you can get more than one so that they're queued up and waiting to go. And sometimes you can't. And I think that has to do with the difference of the rides. The rides have a tier. Like the more popular ones, like the Snow White, I think is on a different tier than Small World. Just like in Animal Kingdom, the Pandora rides are on a different tier. And the newest Pandora ride is on a different tier than the other rides. So you have to pay attention to that. So that one I would definitely do my homework on if there's absolute rides that you absolutely need to get on.
Okay. That's amazing because I feel like I didn't realize half of that when we were there. Yeah.
That sounds so stressful. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's fine. It didn't bother me. But it used to be with fast passes, you could book up to three at a time. And then as soon as you used one, you could book another one. You could always have three in a queue. Genie Plus, or the fast pass, the Genie Lightning Plus, whatever you call it. That doesn't seem to be the case. And it seems to be because the day that we were in Hollywood, we were able to book some as we were after a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. Even though we hadn't used the other one. So it just depends, I think, on the rides and your park. If you really want to use the Genie Plus and really want to get your money out of it, you're going to have to do some homework and look up the rides and see how they work the best.
Yeah. So I know somebody who's gone several times with this system, and then obviously when they didn't have it, if you don't want to pay or do this extra piece of the puzzle, what are your other tips for people to get the most like out of the rides they get to do? Like, is it like arriving early or just like
choosing? If you really want to do rides and get into things without a lot of lines, you're going to wait no matter what you go to, whether it's 15 minutes or an hour, you're going to wait. Just be prepared to wait and just don't worry about that. You're going to wait no matter what you do at Disney. But if you want to do it with the least amount of wait that you can possibly get, I would suggest you make sure you stay on what's called Disney property, making sure that, and that's all kinds of list of places that you can go from low end to high end budget. So it's okay for everybody, but do that and then use your extra hours before the parks, you get before park opening and you get late up in the evening. So if you really want to make sure you get things done, that would be the best thing I can tell you is to get there before the rope drops. And, you know, go back and rest or whatever and stay till the very end if you want to get, because if the days that we went to Magic Kingdom where we got in early and we got quite a few things done in the first hour and a half that we were there, even after it opened to the, you know, to the non-Disney resort members. But we still were back there already in the park. You didn't have to get back to the half of the park. And we got quite a few things done that usually have long lines.
Mm-hmm. So was it stressful then planning all of that? Like coordinating that each day? I just feel like not knowing what the park's going to be like and what they're going to allow you to do. I feel like I didn't realize it was that they just like picked and choose, I guess, like what.
I mean, I didn't find it all that stressful, but I've done it before. So I know the biggest difference between now, because this is post-COVID. When we went with David the first time, it was pre-COVID. You did not have to make park reservations. You could just get up and say, oh, let's go to Magic Kingdom today or whatever. Now, post-COVID, as of right now, you have to make a park reservation. So that's the biggest thing is make sure when you decide to go, you know what your park reservation out timeline is. And it's different if you're on Disney Resort, if you're staying on Disney Resort, I think you can start making your park reservations. The park reservations you can make up as soon as you have tickets. Once you have tickets bought, you can make your park reservations. I had to think of what the combinations were. So park tickets you can make once you buy your park tickets. Then you can make your park reservations and you need to make your park reservations. Otherwise you can't just show up. If you don't have a park reservation right now, you're not allowed in the park. And with the park hopper choice, it's not a guarantee. It used to be if you had the park hopper, you could, you know, go for 2 hours to one park and then at 10 o'clock, you go to another park and keep going. Now, right now, the way it is now or when we went is you could not park hop until after 2 o'clock and that was not a guarantee. So if you really want to park hop and do like an evening thing where you can go in the evening and see fireworks at one park that different than the other, I would recommend the extra park hop. If you don't care and you want to just spend one day in each park, then don't do the park hopper because that is another cost. But we've always done park hopper, but this is the first time we've ever had to do the reservations. And we basically did the reservations. The hardest part was making sure everybody, because we had a group of 13 this time, making sure that everybody did kind of what they wanted to do or it was slated for them to do it. The biggest thing we did is I just lined up what days had early or late for the parks for those that were staying on Disney. And that's what we usually picked so that if people wanted to go early, they could. And if they wanted to stay late, they could. That was the easiest way to just decide which days to put on which park reservations, which I think that's usually what we've done anyway, at least in the mornings. Even in the mornings when we didn't have to make park reservations, we'd get up and say which park was early today, and that's what we would go or do the night before. So it's Disney is one of those trips that you can just kind of wing it, but then you just have to go with what you get. But you also can't wing it, just like the park reservations and like dining. You can't, if you want to have a sit down meal, you're not gonna be able to wing it. If you want to just order mobily and eat wherever, then you can wing it. It just depends on what you want to do. But if you want some of the special different Disney things, you have to plan a little bit.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, that's the next thing I want to ask you about was dining. So while we were on this trip, we did two dining experiences. We did Chef Mickey, which we talked about on two episodes ago. We talked about that, I think, even the one last week. But anyway, we talked about that. And then we also ate at Ohana in the Polynesian Resort. We did dinner, which that was actually my first time doing dinner at the Polynesian, which was really, really good. But we talked about those before. So that was something you coordinated for us, was getting those reservations. So I remember there was like a timeline for that. So like, how far out from your trip can you actually make the reservations, and how does it work? Do you go online? Do you call people? What was the process like for that?
If you're staying on a Disney, I believe if you're staying on a Disney resort, it's 90 days.
Okay.
If you're not on a Disney resort, it's 60 days. Okay. So, and I can tell you from experience, even before COVID, and that if you want a character or a meal experience like that, you need to be up at 7 a.m. that day, ready to go. You can do it. You can book them online on the Disney experience when you've got your account. You can do that for smaller groups. For the group size that we had, I had to call and make arrangements, and they did not guarantee seating us all together. Luckily, we were very lucky and we were able to get tables next to each other. But because of the size of the group, it didn't work, you know, it wasn't guaranteed. But if you want character meals or sit down meals or any of that stuff, make sure that you go and find out when you can make your reservations. And it depends on where you're staying, whether you're on Disney sites or off Disney sites. But making the reservations, it's not that big of a deal. All of the character meals are basically priced. There are price per adult and price per child, and the children's ages, it varies. But it's all just pretty much priced per person. And then they don't charge your credit card, but you leave a credit card with them. And if you don't show up or cancel, they're going to charge you per person, not the full amount, but it's like $10 or $15 per person. If you don't show up, you can cancel them. Once you've made them, they can be canceled or modified.
Okay.
But my suggestion is, if you have any interest in that, is find out the first day that you can make them based on your reservations of where you are and make them. It's always easier to cancel than not.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that Chef Mickey, the Ohana breakfast, and the Beauty and the Beast Be Our Guest restaurant are some of the most popular for getting reservations. So if those are the ones you want, try them as soon as you can. But again, make sure you have park reservations, because having a meal does not mean you get to get into the park just for that meal. You have to have a park reservation, at least right now. That's obviously subject to change because of the way that COVID has changed things. But that's the biggest thing you need to do.
Gotcha. Okay. It is. It's crazy. What, out of all of your trips, what's been like one of your top dining experiences or like favorite places to eat?
Well, I'm a princess girl, so I really liked both the castle when we ate at the castle and saw the princesses, and when we ate at, I don't remember the name of the restaurant, when we saw Tangled, when we saw Rapunzel.
Oh, yeah, that was at one of the other resorts. I forget which one it was, but they did the breakfast with, Flynn and Rapunzel, and Ariel was there, and Eric was there.
Those were my two favorites.
Yeah, that was a good one.
A lot of people don't talk about, which is also fun, is the Crystal Palace, but they have Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Piglet, and they come around. Again, a lot of these were buffets when we did them, but now post-COVID, they're not buffets, they're seated. Just like Ohana, it used to be more of a buffet type thing. The other thing that I can suggest, if you're in Disney, and it's not a character dining, but it's the Polynesian Luau. That is an extremely fun activity. We've done that once. And having been to Hawaii and done a luau in Hawaii, it's very much like the ones that you see in Hawaii. So I highly recommend that one too, if you want. And you don't have to be, you don't have to be a guest of the Polynesian, and you don't have to actually stay on Disney property. You just have to make your reservations. But that's another one that, that I would highly recommend.
I'd forgotten about that too. We had done another one while we're on this topic. If you ever stay at the Beaches Resort, I think that's the name of it. They have like an ice cream shop that you can go to, and they have an ice cream dessert called the Kitchen Sink, where they serve it in, it looks like Mickey Mouse's pants, but they look like a sink. And it's like this massive bowl of ice cream. It took us, I did that when we were in college. So there were four of us, and we didn't even finish it. So it was a lot of ice cream, but definitely another fun little like thing to do dining wise. So cool. Okay. So we talked about the genie and we talked about the genie. The genie dining. What, I think the last thing we really wanted to discuss was like, what were the big differences between planning with a group this size and then, you know, smaller groups, like when you and, you know, dad have gone. So just like the two of you are just, you know, more smaller family. It's like, what was the big difference for you from a logistics standpoint that maybe you didn't expect or you did, or what kind of stood out as the biggest differences?
Well, the biggest difference I think is the very, very first time I went, you didn't have to make any reservations. You bought your tickets and you went. That I did that in 1987, when that was the first time I ever went with your dad. And we just kind of went and did our thing and we did what we wanted and we can't, you know, and it was just the two of us. Then when you add kids, you have to, you know, what the kids want to do and what the adults want to do can be completely different. So you have to decide who's in charge or who's the trip for or whatever. This particular time, I think it wasn't hard per se, but it was more a matter of, we had some people that have been there many, many times, just like Jonathan. He's been there probably more than any of us have been.
Yeah.
And then there are some of you that had never been before, so you didn't know what to expect and didn't know what you wanted to do. So trying to balance, making sure that everybody got the experience that they wanted, which I couldn't do completely, but making sure that you were able to try and do what you wanted to do. That was the hardest part, I think, is the number of people. But then again, I also got to the point that here's your ticket. This is what we have planned. You guys do what you want to do. And everybody kind of, some days we were all together, some days we weren't. Some things we met up for, some things we didn't. And I think it worked out well for that. And that's the only other thing, tip I can say, especially if your parents, you kind of have to decide who, you know, if you want your kids to experience certain things and whether they want to. The first time that we went to Disney World when our girls were in kindergarten and kindergarten and second grade, it was all about the characters. Everything was about the characters, standing in line to see the characters, get their pictures, get their autographs, you know, go to the character meals. It was all about the characters. The rides were a second thought for that trip. The next time we went, the characters were a little less important and it was more about the rides, and it was the pin trading that were, those were the things that they were in. Because I can tell you from experience the number of times and the number of different trips I've gone, no matter if you've been before or know what, you are never going to do everything you want to do or everything that is there to do. You're not going to get through everything. So it's kind of, it depends. And like this trip, the last trip with David, he just went and did whatever. He was fine with whatever we did. This time he had more of an opinion, and there were certain things that we didn't expect that he would like, that he liked, and there were certain things that he didn't like. Yeah. Same thing, I think, with Savannah and Jeffrey. I think that everybody expected them to like certain things, but then they liked other things or wanted to do other things. I'm not sure, but, you know, and that's the other thing is with kids, you kind of have to just kind of go. If they say, I want to get in line and see Ariel, and that's where you are for 45 minutes, as long as they're happy, that's what you do. You know, if they change their mind halfway through and say, no, I want to go ride the carousel, then you kind of have to decide, do we get in line and go to the carousel, or do we, you know, make them stay here? If they don't want to ride something, you know, that they've ridden before and they don't want to ride it, that's fine. The other thing I can tell you, having taken children, is make sure you take snacks, make sure that they get water, and make sure that, you know, they get sleep. And it doesn't matter if you go to back to the room at 9 o'clock or if you go back to the room at midnight, it doesn't matter. They'll get their sleep when they need it. It's kind of, you know, but that's, I think that's the biggest thing. And that's the biggest thing, having gone a as many times as I've had, and even when I haven't taken children, because we've gone a couple times without kids. And it's interesting to watch, to sit and people watch, because you can tell which parents are trying to make this the most magical thing and we're never coming back. And you kind of, I think once you get into the park, you just kind of need to let it happen. And if, you know, if these people want to go have lunch and that's the most important thing, let them have their lunch. If they want to see the parades, let them see the parades. That was the one thing that we did not get to. And I think it was just because of the timing, was as many of the entertainment things that we've usually seen, like the shows and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that had to do with trying to get through other things, yeah, which is fine. I mean, all the shows look very much like the same, but they're fun. But that's the other thing is you're never going to do everything. So you have to decide what's more important, whether it's the rides or just, you know, which rides. Or for me, going to Disney World, I don't feel that I've been to Disney World unless I've done it. It's a small world, and the carousel, and I've seen at least one parade somewhere, and the safari in Animal Kingdom. So those are my things. That's what, but I know my family loves Star Wars, so they all do the Star Wars stuff. You know, the Hollywood Studios. I just love to go and see all of that. And Fantasmic is one of my favorites there, and the Beauty and the Beast show. But it just, everybody has a different thing. And I think everybody can figure out, you know, can do what they want. If you aren't stuck in, everybody has to be together and everybody has to do the same thing. And, you know, and I know there are parents that think it's ridiculous to go and spend that money for them to stand in line to see the characters. But to the kids, that's what's magical sometimes. And if they want to stand in line and see Tinkerbell, that's what you do.
Yeah.
Or at least that's what I do, you know. So I think that's you know, the one thing that you have to figure out is which group. And when you have a large group too, don't expect to do everything together, because you're not going to get to do everything together. Mm-hmm. And so don't be upset if you split into smaller groups.
Yeah, I feel like that was definitely something we had to kind of navigate, because it's just, I think we go into trips like this, especially with kind of an expectation, like you said, of how it's going to go. And then, you know, real life kind of takes over. So I don't know. But for me, that was definitely one of the harder things. Just like as we went through the week, was kind of like letting go of like, we don't have to do everything, yeah, like attached at the hip. So I don't know if you felt the same way, Brittany, but I felt like that at first. I just wanted it to be so good for everyone and like make sure that everybody did this stuff together. And it's just the reality is, like you said, it's like what people's priorities are too, you know, changes and shifts a little bit. So having to kind of realistically work through that was an experience.
Definitely.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really go in with the expectation that we would do everything. I guess just because I knew with the kids, I didn't know what to expect. Like if I'm like, you know, if we have to go back and let them nap, like I'll do that. Like, I don't mind. Like, I just wanted them to have a good experience. So between that and like knowing some of the things like Star Wars, I wasn't as, you know, interested in doing, I kind of figured there would be moments where we would kind of go our own way. So, and I was completely okay with that, because yeah, I kind of went into it expecting for some of those instances to happen. So I wasn't, I guess it didn't bother me as much. I kind of expected it to happen with that big of a group.
Yeah.
Well, and I also think sometimes it's important for like you and your kids to just do something alone. I'm not saying that grandparents and aunts and uncles aren't important, and you know, but sometimes it's nice for just the four of you or the three of you with Dave, you know, to just do, even if it's just one ride together, you get to experience that together as a group. Yeah. And you know, and there are special things that grandparents gets to do too, but that happens naturally, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think you know, that's the other thing is it sounds daunting and overwhelming when you think about the things that you have to do, but really once you get your tickets and get your reservations, you're fine. It's just make sure that, you know, there's something you absolutely want to do that will destroy your trip, if you don't want to, you know, if you don't get to do it, do the best you can. And I would highly recommend the library, getting the books. Let me see. I don't think I have the books here. I think it's Fodder's travel book, and they have a different grouping. They put another one out every year to update what's the newest things when they publish. And they have one with kids and without kids, the books, and it'll tell you, you know, you can read the entire book cover to cover, which I read the first time we went, I think, cover to cover. This time I just kind of, I look at it to see what the updates are or what they suggest or whatever. But you don't have to do anything. They give you suggestions if you want to really plan everything. They give you suggestions if you just want to plan a few things. But like I said, just figure out where you're staying. That's the biggest thing. Figure out where you're staying, how long you're staying, get your tickets, and then make your park reservations and your dining reservations. Those are the biggies. And once those are done, you're good to go. And as far as the dining, I think Disney does wonderfully with allergies. So you just contact them. They give you, you can find it on the website, and you email them or call them and tell them what your allergies are, and they put it on there. And so every restaurant we went into that we had reservations, they were aware of it, and we just discussed it again.
Yeah, they did great. We talked about that in the other episode that we recorded, but I was thoroughly impressed with how wonderful the food was, and it was just so nice not to have to worry.
And the other thing you could do is with a large group, that you could each group could make their own reservations. It's just somebody had to be in charge with when we did an all group thing, and that was, and I've done it before, so it's not that big of a deal. It seems daunting, but it's really not. Just figure out, you know, a few things, which parks you want to go to, when they open early, and all that stuff is published. Depending on where you stay, you probably have somebody that you can call and they'll get you your tickets. We've stayed at Shades of Green, which is the Department of Defense place. And you have to have certain things to be able to stay there, but they sell tickets directly through them. A lot of the parks will help you get your tickets. So you can get those. And the biggest thing is we did is we bought ours earlier, because when Shades of Green, you could only buy them 6 months in advance. And we wanted to make sure we had them. We bought our tickets almost a year in advance.
Right.
So that we could make our park reservations immediately. And especially if you're going at a very busy time, those earlier you can make your reservations, the better chance that you'll get what you want. So.
Yeah, I hadn't even considered that. Like, I forgot that we did last Christmas. I remember that we were standing around Sandy's kitchen, like quietly talking about it. And it was like, yeah, it was a year ago. So that's a year before.
So, yeah. And so those are the biggest things, is just figure out where you're going to stay, get your tickets, you know, and figure out what days you want your park reservations. And I don't know how long they're going to continue with that. I don't know if that's something they will continue with or not. But those are the important things. And then again, just figure out, they'll tell you, it'll tell you if you try to make a reservation, it'll tell you you can't for your dining and stuff like that. It'll say, sorry, you can't. So it helps you. And I'm sure Christina can figure out what the app is and put it on some place, but it's the mydisneyworld.com or something like that. And then you make an account and it links everything together.
Okay. Yeah. We'll put that and we'll list the books. I do remember those. I know you had a question, Brittany, that you were a comment.
Like, what park or what spot would you say has the best shopping? I'm just curious what your insight is on that. That was one thing I was not expecting. Savannah and Jeffrey both, they really wanted to shop, and I'm not a huge shopper. So I was kind of like, really?
and Disney makes it so easy because every ride comes out through a gift shop just about. We did most of our shopping, I think our girls mostly did. When they were littler, it was mostly Main Street, the Emporium. It has the Emporium on Main Street. To me, you start at one end and it looks like different shops, but it's not. It's just connected. They had just about anything that you wanted to find elsewhere would be there. And then the pins, that was the other thing. The pins were always the big thing. And the big, well, I don't remember at this time, but at Epcot, they always had a station that had a lot of the pins right in the middle.
I think it's under the ball now. I think that's the shop that we were going to do that one night when we were getting together. I think there's a big shop under the Spaceship Earth now. I think it's down there. I think that's where.
And then the other place, which we didn't get to, is if you really want to shop and do more than one kind of shop, go to Disney Springs. They have one store that has all of the, like, the different stuff that you see online, or you see places that, like, the kitchen stuff. And I think it's all similarly priced, but Disney's, and it also has a Christmas shop and it has candy shops. It also has a Lego shop there.
Oh, okay.
And so that's another one. Disney Springs is another place to go.
Okay. So, good to know. Those are the, when talking about expectations, those are things I did not expect them to want to shop as much. And I didn't want expect them to want to go back to the hotel and swim as much.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. And when we went with the kids, well, our kids were about the same age as your kids when we went the first time. And we didn't stop to think about doing the pool at the hotel, because we were like, no, we're at Disney, so we're going to do everything Disney. Just like when they were kids, we didn't do the water parks a lot. Well, we didn't go in winter or summer either, but we didn't do the water parks. There are water parks. Mm-hmm. There are miniature golf courses, which I'd never done until David and I went by ourselves, and we finally started to do some of that. But that's what I mean is you can't do everything. And it's you have to decide, you know, if your kids are happy, that's what matters. And so what? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, if they're happy to go to the pool and then go back and see Mickey Mouse, that's fine. Our kids, they just went till they dropped. That was just what they did. Mm-hmm. You know, but we also probably didn't go the same pace that we did either. But you also had more people trying to go places, because the first two times we went, we only went with six people. We went with the two girls, their mom and dad, and then a set of grandparents. We only had one set of grandparents at a time. And then the last time we took them was just the four of us.
Oh.
So, yeah. And I think every kid's different, because that's what I say is it changes too. When we went the very first time, we spent most of our time in Magic Kingdom. We did the safari and we stood in line to see characters. That was what we did the first time. A lot of time of our time was there. And we also did the Epcot was a little different. We did the passports. They had the kid stations, but they were a little more active. It wasn't just it was a craft.
Mm-hmm.
So that's changed a little bit. Because Epcot really to me is, except for the things that, like the the Nemo ride and Figment, which we didn't get to go on. Most of those are not to me kid oriented as much.
Yeah. And that's probably why that was the day that we opted to go back and swim, because they were
right. And Remy being the new show that was probably the Remy ride and the Frozen ride are probably the two most popular things in Epcot for the kids.
Yeah.
So, and we didn't spend a lot of time in Epcot riding rides. We spent a lot of time walking and just taking our time, which is probably we just kind of, when we were done.
Yeah.
From Epcot, and we went back and everybody crashed. So.
Well, I wish, like, I kind of wish I would have seen more of it, but doing what the kids needed was better. Or are you?
Right, yeah. Yeah. And if you go back, then you'll know, you know, kind of what you want to do. That's the difference too, is I've been so many times that I kind of know probably what, because I, as far as what the kids wanted to do, it was pretty much down the line of what I would expect it, other than the shopping. I didn't know that all of them would want to shop as much, but I think that's just because they knew that they had the freedom to shop, you know, which they don't necessarily get at home.
Yeah.
So
burning a hole in their pocket. So.
Right.
Yeah. I think the gift cards helped a lot. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. See, when we went, my kids didn't have gift cards. They were told that they could bring, I think they got to get one big thing and that was it. And once they bought it, so they waited. And the second time we went, we flew. So we went to the pins. We did a lot of pins.
Yeah. Those were amazing.
So, yep.
To be fair, I also do still have my giant Pluto and Tigger in the other room. So both of the times I got giant stuffed animals.
You did.
They've lasted for almost 30 years. So.
And we have pictures of them shoved in the van with us, sitting next to them in the car.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yep, Pluto was smushed against the window.
Yep.
All right. Well, I mean, honestly, I've learned so much that I feel like I didn't even know in December when we went. So thank you for sharing all of this. To wrap up, because we only got a couple minutes left with you, what was probably your favorite part of this trip, or like a special moment or memory from the trip in December that like stands out to you from what we did?
I don't know. I think just watching the kids and like what when we watched the parades and how excited they got when they saw the characters and everything being Christmassy. I enjoy Disney because I like the magic of Disney, and watching it through the three kids' eyes being together, I think was the most special for me. And just even the silly stuff that we did with Snapchat and all that stuff, just being silly and goofy and happy to me is what I remember the most.
I'm going to cry.
I know. So I just, you know, I love going to Disney because as silly as it is, everything kind of melts away when you're there most of the time. You don't know what's going on outside of the world of Disney. And as you know, corny as it is, to me, that's fun. That's why, you know, I like to watch the Hallmark stuff. I watched Disney stuff that's made for kids because I'd rather that be what I live in than some of the other stuff.
Yes. Yep. Here for it.
You know, and I just think that every time a kid goes and sees something new, I think it's great. And I even my own two children who were older, I could see that they saw different things and they experienced different things too. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed watching the Dowlers that had never been all get to see it and how magical it was for them. So
I know that the trip was definitely very, very special. Definitely will be reliving it in our minds forever.
Yep. Well, good. Yeah. That's what we wanted.
We looked out with a really fantastic trip and I'm glad it all worked out. The moments that it was stressful, it was all worth it. Everything paid off in the end. So thank you so much for everything you did on this trip, but also for coming and chatting. This was your first time on a podcast. So I'm just so like, yay. I'm so proud of you. But we really appreciate it. Cause we just want to be helpful with everything that we do and taking the fun, like conversations that we've had the last few episodes and turning them into like really practical things, I think is really important to us. So thank you for doing that.
No problem. Well, you girls have a great day.
Thank you. All right. And the rest of you, we will chat with you next week. We're going to be actually talking about Universal Studios. We did go to Universal on this trip and we wanted to share about that experience because it was new for me, not new for Brittany. I keep wanting to say it was new for both of us, but we both saw things we'd never seen before. So we're very excited to talk about that and just kind of the difference between that and Disney. So tune in next week. And then we promise we'll stop talking about Disney World after that for a little while. So we'll talk to you next week.